How many of you have know of people who have started projects and somewhere along the line they're not consistent in completing what they started? How many of you know of people who have started a diet and they had all these wonderful expectations, but they are not consistent in completing the diet? Whatever it is, in my book, Functioning Faith in a Malfunctioning World, it's a must for some of those people. It speaks about the power of consistency. It speaks about how that even in this crazy world, this malfunctioning world, we can rise up and function. And while everybody is complaining, we can compliment God and we can make a difference. While everybody is struggling, the body of Christ, the faith in Christ Jesus makes a difference. And so I brought some copies along. Last time I had my other book here, and this is my Functioning Faith in a Malfunctioning World. Make sure you get a copy. Buy it for somebody. Buy it for a friend. It's only $10. It will be a blessing to you. But tonight, allow me to encourage you from the Bible, from the text found in the book of John chapter 11. And I want to speak to you tonight on the theme, lifting every limitations. It is a fact that many of us have had expectations at the beginning of the year. Expectations of a family turnaround, expectations of a marriage turnaround, expectations of what for a better life, expectations for a better job, expectations for many things. And everybody in this room, if I have to ask you if you had an expectation, raise your hand, then I'm sure everybody would raise their hand and say, man, we had expectations. And some people now, because it's the 10th month, they seem to give up on the very expectation that they had because they seem to think time is against them. Some people feel because 10 months, we're right now in the 10th month, there's literally only 1.5 months left before December comes. And many people feel, man, once December's here, then whatever I believed God for will not come to pass. I have come to let you know tonight, do not let go of your expectation because God is still up to something. I've come to stop by tonight to say to you that God is still up to something. As much as nothing has happened in the last 10 months, God is saying that this is October and this is going to be overflow October for those who believe it. And maybe you are here tonight and you've given up on a dream, you've given up on a child, you've given up on a marriage, you've given up on your promotion, you've given up and you seem to think because time is against you and nothing has happened in the last 10 months, I want to say to you, God is going to surprise you for those who believe it. I want to say to you that God is going to turn things around. I believe that God is going to do much more in the next 2 months that he has ever done in the last 10 months. I believe that God is going to show up so strong at every level of your life. Prophetically, I want to declare for those who believe it, and you can only shout if you believe it. Prophetically, I want to declare that God is going to surprise you. God is going to show you a level of his increase, a level of whatever you believed God for, what you thought was bygone, what the opportunity that you thought you have lost out, and there's some things that you thought is taboo, it's too late for you. God says, no, it's not too late. I'm about to surprise you in the last 2 months, these two next 2 months. God says, I want you to increase your expectation. Whatever expectation that you had might have been an expectation for a mortgage paid off, might be an expectation for a car paid off, might be an expectation for a salary raise. Whatever expectation that you have, God says, don't let your expectation down. God says, don't lower your expectation. This is not a time to lower your expectation because you measure where you are right now. God says, don't try and figure out how I'm working. God says, this is your time. This is your moment to lift every expectation that you have and take the limitation of the very expectation, because God says, I'm about to move so fast. I'm about to move so quick. I'm about to move so swiftly that I'm about to blow your mind. And I wish I had a few people that can just shout, amen. It's not too late for those who said it's too late. I want to say, try God. For those who saying, man, it is all behind me, I have missed out, I want to say, watch God move. For those who are saying tonight, man, my age is against me, my family is against me, my education is against me, everything is against me, I want to say to you, watch God move like you've never seen before in the next 2 months of your life. That God is going to show up in places that you never expected God to show up. God is going to move in a level and a dimension that you never thought God will move. God is about to blow somebody's expectation here tonight. And you've come up to the house of the Lord and you say, God, I have not seen anything yet. I had an expectation in January. January went past and nothing happened. February went past and nothing happened. Oh God, June went past and nothing happened. July went past and nothing happened. August went past, nothing happened. September went past, nothing happened. God says, watch what I'm about to do, that I declare this is going to be overflow October, that whatever you believe in, I feel it tonight, whatever you believe in, God says, I'm going to do it for you in a way that's going to blow your mind. You will not be able to calculate it. You will not be able to fathom it. You will not be able to figure it out. God says, don't figure it out. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and calculate it out. I need you just to believe that I'm the God of the turnaround. I'm going to turn your business around. I'm going to turn your money around. I'm going to turn your family around. I'm going to turn everything that is upside down in your life that you have given up. I'm going to turn it around. Even the stuff that you don't desire, I'm going to turn that around as well, because I'm not going to give you your wants. I'm going to give you a need. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Come on, say to your neighbor, lift the limitation. Come on, say, lift every limitation. Because you have allowed time to limit you. You have allowed people to limit you. You have allowed circumstances to limit you. You have allowed your condition to limit you. And as a result of the stuff that you're going through, you have allowed that stuff to limit you. But God says, don't you know, I am bigger than the stuff that you're facing right now. I'm bigger than the storm that you're facing right now. I'm bigger than your current reality that you're facing right now. And my son and my daughter, declare the Lord, it's time that you lift up your head and lift your expectation and say, God, I thank you that you're about to do it for me. I thank you that the tide is changing in my life. I thank you that you're about to move in a way that I cannot comprehend. But God, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm just going to know that you are at work in my life. My God, my God, my God, my God. Woo! I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but you might say, I might be delayed. You might be delayed, but you're not derailed. Your plans are not derailed. God is still busy with whatever you believe in God for. God has still got to say, neighbor, lift every limitation. Come on, lift every limitation. Lift the limitation. Lift the limitation of self. Lift the limitation of time. Lift. I feel an anointing tonight in this place that God says, I'm about to lift every limitations. What you thought will never happen, God says, I will make it happen. What you thought cannot happen, God says, I will make it happen. What you thought was supposed to happen 10 years from now, God says, I will make it happen now. John chapter 11 verse 1. John chapter 11 verse 1. John chapter 11 verse 1. I want to talk to you about principles from the text. Principle of lifting the limitation. Principles of lifting all limitation. As a matter of fact, I am speaking, you are blessed because I'm speaking from my new book that is coming, will be coming out soon, on principle of limitation. The first thing we need to know, while we leave the text on the screen, we need to know how God functions in the earth. We need to know, how does God function in the earth? We need to understand that God expresses himself in the earth through his people. I'll say it again. God
expresses himself in the earth through his people. If healing is going to come to the earth, it's going to come through his people. If blessings are going to come from heaven to earth, it's going to come through his people. If favor is going to come through the earth, it's going to come through his people. If increase is going to come from heaven, it's going to come through his people. And God expresses himself through his people in the earth. And that is the vehicle that God chooses to express himself. Jesus was just like us, but sinless. But he demonstrated in the earth through his sensitivity the frequency of heaven. I'll say it again. Jesus was just like us, had feelings like us, looked like us, walked like us, but he was sinless. But Jesus had the ability to demonstrate God in the earth through his sensitivity to the frequency of heaven. Tonight, when we talk about the power of lifting the limitation, we have to be tuned in with the frequency of heaven. What does heaven want? What is God's desire? And when we are tuned in with the frequency of heaven, we will begin to understand. Say with me, every lesson in the Bible is to teach us how God expresses himself in the earth. One more time, every lesson in the Bible is to teach us how God expresses himself in the earth. When we read a text like this, whatever story you read is a symbolic picture for us to say, now this is how God expresses himself in the earth. When we look at the story of Lazarus and the story of Lazarus, my Lord, it is one of a phenomenal ways, and there are many ways, and I hope you've got time tonight. Amen? Are you ready to get into all of this? And so the story of Lazarus occurred so that we can learn and live God's principles when dealing with life. Say it with me. The story of Lazarus occurred so that we can learn and live God's principles when dealing with life. When we look at the story, it is really to let us know how do we deal with life. Because that is God's plan, is to bring heaven to earth. And Jesus would allow all of these wonderful demonstrations to happen so that we can learn how to deal with life. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not stuff. God is not impressed with what we drive. God is not impressed with the beautiful house that we have. God is not impressed with our bank balance. God is not impressed on what we have. God wants us to have it, but that does not put a smile on his dial. What puts a smile on his dial is when we can demonstrate the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. What put a smile on God's dial is when you go through hell and you can still have peace in the midst of hell. That puts a smile on God's dial. What put a smile on God's dial is when you face the storms of life and you can still have joy in the midst of the storm. God says, now that's my kingdom. And God is looking for a church that understand the power of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And so we are called upon to be kings and priests in the earth so that the rule, the righteousness, the peace and joy can be demonstrated in every situation. I'll say it again. We are called to be kings and priests in the earth so that the rule of righteousness, peace, and joy can be demonstrated in every situation that we face. In every situation that we face, God is looking. Is there peace? Is there joy? Is there righteousness? What God is really saying, can you still have peace when you are being laid off from your job? Can you still have joy when your petrol tank shows E, your gas tank shows E? Can you still have joy when you open up your food cupboards and you open up your fridge and it's full of emptiness? I'm sorry. No, doesn't happen here in America. In Cape, South Africa, a lot of emptiness. And so God will show us a picture of how to rule over life struggles. And in this text, Lord have mercy, is God showing us how to rule over life challenge. Mary, Martha, Lazarus represents a church that are struggling with seven things. The Bible says a man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and a sister called Martha. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus represents a digressing church that's struggling with seven things. Number one, they struggle with God's testing. A church that struggles with God's trusting. A church that struggles with God's timing. A church that struggles with God's thinking. A church that struggles with God's truth. A church that struggles with God's transforming power. And a church that struggles with God's triumph. The story of Lazarus is more than just being raised from the dead. But the story of Lazarus is a church, a people of God that are struggling with these seven things. We struggle with the testing because the church liked the triumph, but not the test. We like the victory, but we don't like the fight. And so if when we look at the story, it represents these seven things. Say with me, God's testing. Say God's trusting. Say God's timing. God's thinking. God's truth. God's transforming. And God's triumph. Here's the principle number one. The Bible says, right in the text, the Bible says, there was a man who was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and sister Martha. Here's principle number one. God will test you to see if he can trust you. God will test you just to see if he can trust you. Because if one thing to trust God, if there's no test, it's one thing to trust God when everything is going well. It is one thing to trust God when everybody loves you and everybody celebrates you and everybody pat you on the back and tell you how wonderful you are. But it's another thing to trust God when everybody turned on you. And so God will test you to see if he can trust you. And whatever you are going through right now, you've got to know it's just a test, because God wants to see if you have enough faith to believe that he can take you through the storm. He wants to see if you have enough faith to see if you have enough faith to believe that he can make it. And so I want you to watch us now. Lazarus means, we can leave this one on the screen. Lazarus means God is my help. Martha means lady. Lord have mercy. Mary means bitter. And so everybody in the story has a name with the meaning. Whenever you have a name with the meaning, God will always find out whether the nature of the name matches the nature of the person. Ah, you missed me this time. Lazarus means God is my help. And so I'm going to allow him to die to see if I'm his help. Mary means lady, or Martha means lady. And so I'm going to test Martha to see if she can still act like a lady. Even when I'm late. Ah, you miss me. Mary means bitter. And so I'm going to test Mary to see if the nature of a name matches the nature of a character. You've got to watch out. Whenever you call yourself blessed, know that you will be tested with burdens. Lord have mercy. Whenever you call yourself, I'm the head and not the tail, God will check you to see how you can handle being the head and not the tail. Whenever you call yourself, I'm the apple of God's eye, God will test you to the very thing that you call yourself. So watch out what you call yourself, because you'll be tested in the very thing that you declare who you are. Ooh, it's going to get better. Lord have mercy. Watch this now. Watch this now. And so God began to test this family. Martha, your name is lady. And so I'm going to see if you still act like a lady. Mary, your name means bitter. And Lazarus, God is my help. Circumstances will arise to see if we can live up to our name. Oh, Jesus. God will use circumstances to arise in our life to see whether you can live up to your name. And so, I'm blessed. Well, let me see how blessed you are. Well, I've got the power. Well, let me see when sickness arises in your family, whether you still have the power. Lord, it's getting quiet on me right now. Woo. And so I wanted to watch now that Jesus is the family, a friend of this family. Jesus is a friend of this family. But just because Jesus is a friend of this family does not mean this family will not be tested. Just because Jesus is a friend of this family does not mean divine redemption, does not mean trouble-free exemption. Jesus began to test. Oh, Lord have mercy. And so tests, say with me, tests are designed to usher us in to our next level of promotion. You can never go to the next level in God if you don't pass the test. No one passes a test and say you're the same grade. A test is a vehicle that lifts our limitation. You must pass the sick test in order to be healed. Say amen. You must pass the poverty test in order to be prosperous. You must pass the brokenness test in order to get a breakthrough. You must pass the closed door test in order for open doors to come. You must pass the rejection test in order to get accepted. We can handle God's triumph, but we cannot handle God's test. Amen. Come on, can you say amen to that? Let's read the next verse. Let's read the next verse. 1, 2, 3. Right on the screen there, verse 2. This was the... Come on, 1, 2, 3. This was the... My Lord, this Mary was the same Mary that massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oil and then wiped it with the hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. My God. I asked the question,
Why would there be reference to this was the same Mary who did Jesus a favor? And so the same Mary who did Jesus a favor expected now that Jesus must do her a favor. Why does the Bible say it was the same Mary? It's almost to say that because she did this to Jesus, Jesus must respond immediately to her request because of the favor that she did to him. Here's the principle number two. Familiarity does not prevent any exemption from your test. Mary, this Mary, was blessed in one season of her life. Now she's broken in the next season of your life. Just because you were blessed in one season does not mean you will never ever experience brokenness again. And so just because she anointed the feet of Jesus does not mean she will never deal with disappointment again. That as much as Mary was close to Jesus, she had to be open to the idea that she will be tested on another level. Ah, you missed me. Anointing is not the absence of disappointing. It was this Mary who anointed Jesus in one season of her life. Let's see now how this Mary responds to this season of her life. Because anointing does not mean there's an absence of being disappointed. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, are you still here tonight? Here it is. Pastor Francine, her past performance does not guarantee that her future performance is going to be equally anointed. And so we are not measured by what we did yesterday. Ask your neighbor, how are you doing today? How are you serving today? How are you giving today? How are you committed to the ministry? Don't talk about what you did for the church 5 years ago. What are you doing today to the church? Sometimes test. Verse 3. Here's principle number 3, found in verse 3. In life, our message can be delivered, but response delayed. Verse 3, the Bible says, so, since Mary anointed the feet of Jesus, the sisters, becomes a scary thing when sister sends a message out. Don't mess with sisters. The sisters send a word to Jesus, Master, look at the message. The one whom you love, you love so very much, is sick. I mean, what kind of a message is that? Jesus, Lazarus is sick. That's it. Can you come? Jesus, please, we need you now. Can you come? But no, the message is very clear. You owe us a favor. Since you, first of all, since I anointed your feet, and since you love our brother, we want you to know that it is the one that you love. He is sick. Are you still with me? Say to your neighbor, sometimes your message might be delivered, but the response delayed. Therefore, the sisters thought by tailor-making their message and putting meat to the message and putting context to the message and allow Jesus to feel guilty that he must leave everything behind, They thought their nice, beautiful message will cause him to act immediately. Sometimes our prayers that we pray. Jesus, remember what I did to Cross Culture. Remember how I serve. Remember the money that I gave. Remember there was a time when the church made a plea and I cleared my bank account. And now because of all of that, I needed to come quickly. Jesus. Ooh, are you still here? I want you to understand life. What we are seeing here now is a church, a people of God that struggles with trusting, with timing, and with a number of things. And so here in the text, the wording of the message is designed to compel Jesus to react immediately, but he responds differently. What do you do if you need him to act immediately, but he responds differently? And so, what do you do when he's immediate and your immediate are different? In the text, their immediate and the immediate of Jesus, two different things. And therefore, say to your neighbor, in life, your message can be delivered, but delayed response. Come on, say, sometimes God will delay the message or delay the response. There's some prayers that's delayed. And therefore, we have to trust Jesus enough to know that he will show up at the right time. Here's principle number four. Are you ready for it? Look at verse number four. Look at verse number four. Principle number four is faith in God give new meaning to circumstances. Give new meaning to circumstances. Let's look at how Jesus responded. Let's read everybody 1, 2, 3. When Jesus got the, he said, "This sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying the Son." I mean, Jesus, we did you a favor. We need you now. Our brother is sick. He is sick. Jesus gets the message and says, "Man, I know that the sickness is not fatal. And so I'm not going to respond." Watch us now. Jesus gives new meaning to what he hears. What does he hear? He hears fact, but he speaks truth. He hears that Lazarus is sick, but he speaks the truth to say it's not fatal. Sometimes we have to hear the fact and speak the truth, because there's a difference between truth and fact. It might be a fact that you broke, but the truth is God will bless you just like that. It might be a fact that you're sick, but the truth is God is our healer. We must develop the ability to discern fact from truth and speak truth only. Jesus hears fact, but speak truth. I want to ask you a question. What are you speaking most of the time? Fact or truth? Because most of the time, we get so caught up with the facts. I don't have, I can't get, this is my situation on black and white, this is how my spreadsheet look. And Jesus look and say, "Son, I know that's a fact, but the truth is I'm in control. The truth is I can do abundantly, exceedingly more than you can think or ask." So stop focusing on fact. Begin to speak the truth in the midst of your situation. And so, I believe it was not the illness that caused the death of Lazarus. It was the assignment of Jesus that caused the death of Lazarus. I'll say it again. It was not the sickness that causes the death of Lazarus. It was the assignment of Jesus that caused the death of Lazarus. The assignment of Jesus was to raise Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus could not fulfill his assignment if Lazarus was not dead. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Here it is. You ask me, what has that got to do with me? There are some assignments that are waiting on you to raise some death situations. And God allowed things to happen so that you can fulfill your assignment in your own family. And I don't know what challenges you are facing right now, but don't look at it as your challenge. Look at it as an assignment. It had to happen so that you can fulfill your assignment. And Jesus understood that Lazarus' death has got everything to do with my assignment. And so it was the assignment of Jesus that caused the death. Here it is. Lazarus had to die so that the Son of God can be glorified. There are some things that are happening in your life right now. And God has allowed it to happen so that he can be glorified through what you're going through. So yes, principle number four, I told you, faith in God gives new meaning to circumstances. Say to your neighbor, see fact, but speak the truth. Sometimes you are somebody else's assignment. Maybe that husband that you're struggling with, maybe you are his assignment. Or the wife that you're struggling with. Whatever you're going through is for the glory of God. Okay, are you still here? Praise God. Principle number five, verse five. Verse five. Verse five, the Bible says Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. My God. So if Jesus loves, if you love the family, why don't you respond immediately? Like our praise, Lord, you love me. Why don't you do this for me? Jesus says, no, I love you enough not to show up when you want me to show up. So Jesus, watch this now. Jesus had a special bond with this family, but that did not stop him from delaying his response to this situation. Here it is. He loved them enough to allow them to experience the reality of life. And sometimes God does not show up immediately because he wants to allow you to experience the reality of life. And so his love does not prevent the process of life. His love for them provides the process of life. Here it is. Jesus loved them enough to show them another side of him. Principle number six. Are you here, my brothers and sisters? Let's read the text. But oddly, when he heard, oh, Lord have mercy, that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for two more. Lord have mercy. I mean, he's got a connection with the family. The text suggests that it was Lazarus' sister who took her expensive oil to the value of 1 year's salary and poured it out on Jesus. The text suggests that Jesus loved this family. But Jesus decided to stay two more days. Ask your neighbor why. Well, say, neighbor, since you don't know, ask the preacher. Here's principle number six. Never allow sentiment
to get in the way of your assignment. Never allow sentiment to get in the way of your assignment. When Jesus got the news, he still had an assignment in that time, but it does not allow sentiment to get in the way from what he is supposed to do. They expected him to leave everything because they are connected to him. But Jesus says, I have an assignment. And I have to complete my assignment here before I go there. Not like many church folks, they start an assignment, never complete it, jump to another assignment, never complete it, go to another assignment, and they don't fulfill one assignment in their life. But Jesus says, I know you, I'm connected to you, but you are not going to get in the way of me fulfilling my assignment. Are you here, brothers and sisters? Don't get so quiet on me. So Jesus never allow, say with me, Jesus never allow sentiment to get in the way of his assignment. Why? Because where he was his now assignment. Lazarus is his next assignment. And so he does not confuse his now assignment with his next assignment. And Jesus understood the power of now and next. And he's not confused with what he's doing now and what he's supposed to do next. Because there are many people that want to jump to the next and they have not even done anything in the now. And so Lazarus was his next assignment. What should have sparked a normal response, Jesus did an abnormal thing. And the abnormal thing was, he stayed 2 days late. Instead of extinguishing the Lazarus flame, he extended his stay because according to him, there was no crisis. Here it is. Say with me, Jesus uses downtime as prep time for prime time. Come on, say, Jesus uses downtime as prep time for prime time. Jesus knew what in 2 days from now it's going to be prime time, but I'm going to use my downtime as prep time because downtime is always an assignment. I'll say it again. Downtime is also an assignment. Don't look at rest as not being an assignment. And so Jesus uses downtime. Say with me, uses downtime as prep time for prime time. Here's principle number 7. Praise God. Let's go to verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11 for principle number 7. Amen. Let's read. 1, 2, 3. He said these things and then announced, our friend Lazarus have fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up. Say to your neighbor, plans delayed does not mean plans derailed. Plans delayed does not mean plans derailed. And so we find ourselves, Jesus now, yeah, and throughout begin to demonstrate how God operates in the earth. So the motivation for him to delay was connected to the power of his Father working through him. Jesus understands that death cannot stay dead in his presence. And so he knows that delay does not mean derail. Because when my presence step in, no dead person can remain the same in my presence. And so I'm just delaying the plan. I'm not derailing the plan. And so Lazarus represents a church that is dead in bondage. And only the presence of Jesus can bring life to a church that is asleep. It looked like the plans of the church are delayed, but it's not derailed. Praise God. Are you with me? Verse 12, the Bible says, the disciple answered, Lord, if he has fallen, Master, if he has gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. The disciples. I mean, the disciples, they don't feel like going. Because the disciples does not understand the power of decoding the things of heaven. They hear Jesus speak, but they don't understand that Jesus speak in the spirit realm and not in the natural realm. Therefore, principle number 8, always speak what you see in the spirit realm and not what you not speak in the natural realm. I'll say it again. Always speak what you see in the spiritual realm and not speak in the natural realm. Jesus see much more than what the disciples are saying. The principle of a spoken word says, call the thing that be not just as though they were. Here it is. Jesus speak of dead. Jesus speak of death as being asleep. Jesus speak of death as being asleep. The disciples speak of dead as being dead. Two different meanings. Two different perspectives. And when they hear Jesus talking about Lazarus being asleep, Jesus really mean that he's not dead, he is asleep. Although he died, he's just asleep. The disciples mean, no, he is still sleeping. And then now they are trying to talk Jesus out of his assignment. And so Jesus speaks of death as being asleep, while the disciples think Lazarus is alive and he is sleeping. Why? Because the ability to decode and dissect the spiritual dimension of Jesus is an impediment to the understanding. And so the disciples question why Jesus had to go, because Lazarus was just sleeping. Are you still here, beloved? Let's go to verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. Amen. Let's go to verse 20. And now, I don't know how many Marthas or Marys are here, but you will now discover how these ladies begin to function. Amen. 1, 2, 3. Let's read. Martha heard that Jesus was coming, and Mary went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. Let's do it again. Martha heard that Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained. Let's do it one more time. Lord have mercy. Martha means lady. She's disappointed that Jesus is late. But she still acts like a lady in the midst of a disappointment. She doesn't throw her toys out of the cot. She does not go crazy like some ladies when they're mad in a situation. She lives up to a name. But Mary remain where? In the? Mary's name means what? Bitter. She's bitter in the house. This is the same Mary that blessed the feet of Jesus. And the same Mary that blessed the feet of Jesus is now bitter. She doesn't want to see his feet. And so Martha stepped into the bigness that God had for her in spite of a difficult situation. She went out to meet Jesus while Mary sat in the house. Both sisters faced the same challenge, but they responded differently. Martha responded with speed, while Mary was on a go slow. The same Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus is now on a go slow to his feet. How many times did our circumstances made us so weary that we don't even feel like praying? And here's the principle. Number 9, never allow your feelings to get in the way of doing the right thing. Mary did the right thing in John chapter 11 verse 2. As a matter of fact, can we go there quickly if you don't mind again? This was the same Mary that anointed his feet. But now in verse 20, the same Mary that anointed his feet is now crazy Mary. Is mad Mary. Man sees a sister, and so this sister is saying, don't mess with me. He should have been here long ago. I've spent all my money. I spent all my... Who does Jesus think he... This is a crazy sister. And this sister is saying, where does he come from now? We called on him long ago, and he only shows up now. I will show him that I will not go out and meet him because I'm mad. Ooh. Watch this now. The sister allows her feeling to get in the way from doing the right thing. Do the right thing even if you're mad. Do the right thing even if you're disappointed. Do the right thing even if you face some challenges. Because how many times did our circumstances make us so weary that we did not even feel like doing the right thing? Man, there's so much in this text, but I'm afraid my time is up. I'm not sure. I don't want to upset anybody that must still go to Chick-fil-A or that must go. I really don't want to upset you tonight because it's 20 to 9. There's so much coming still here. I'm not sure if you're ready for all of this still. Are you sure? You're not going to be mad at me. You're not going to be mad. You're not saying, I'm never going to come on Wednesday night. Are you sure? Are you ready for this? Amen? This is life principles. And so now, I want to encourage you. Do not allow your circumstances to cause you to act differently to who you are. Don't praise and worship on a Sunday, and on a Monday, you are crazy Mary at home. Don't praise and worship and say, oh God, you are so glorious, and in church, but when you get to your workplace, everybody don't like you because you're the most miserable Mary. Amen. I'm not going to go there. Because some folks will become so upset about what they're going through that they cannot even recognize a setup because they're so upset. Amen. Let's look at verse 21. Praise God. Verse 21. Praise God. Principle number 10. Verse 21. Martha said, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not. So I wanted to watch now. Here's principle number 10. It's actually found in verse 20. Whilst Martha responded to the situation, Mary reacted to the situation. Mary is sitting in the house, bitter. She reacts. Martha's name means lady. She responds. I'm almost done. Amen. And so Martha had the ability to step out of a burdensome environment and step into the bigness that God has for her. And so people who respond to the things do wisely, giving much thought to the consequences of the action. The right thing in the situation was to go out and meet Jesus. Both Martha and Mary blamed Jesus for being late, but they responded differently when he shows up. I'm going to fast track for the sake of time. We must learn to respond to life and not to react to life. Principle 11. Push past your pain towards your provider. Because that is what Martha did. Martha was still excited to meet Jesus, even if when a pain, though a pain, was lost and hurting. And her accurate response to a situation became a defining moment to her life. Martha must have broken emotionally, but she still had the ability to discern. In the midst of her brokenness, she discerned the presence of Jesus. And sometimes we become so bitter that we resent the very ones that can help us get back on track. Unlike Mary, Martha never ignored Jesus. I want to say to you today, never ignore God when you're facing a difficult thing. Here's principle number 12. His presence is bigger than any giant that you face. Because the Bible says, she recognized his presence was bigger than the pain. And we must allow his presence to become bigger than our current pain. Are you still here, beloved? Amen. Give me 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. Never allow your season to change who you are. Because Martha allowed her season to change who she is. Instead of being blessed, she remained bitter even in the very season that she finds herself. Why? Because every season will place a demand. In one season of her life, Martha is a worshiper of Jesus. In the next season of her life, she does not feel like worshiping. Do not let the details, principle number 14, do not let the details educate you out of the supernatural. Because her dilemma was, how can he be our friend and he shows up late? Her disappointment, I did him a favor, but he still showed up late. And so ultimately, they had to deal with the disappointment. They had to deal with delay. They had to deal with the details. And sometimes we can get so caught up with the details of our situation, instead of allowing God to do something. I'm going to end here for the sake of time. Verse 21, then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou have been here, my brother had died. And you watch now. Your invitation must not have a limitation. Mary and Martha sends Jesus an invitation to come. But when he shows up, they question his limitation. She's saying, if you had been here, as if you are here now, which means your presence is a limitation. And so they begin to question the limitation of Jesus. Just because he's late does not mean his power is not late. He is now present. And they gave him the invitation, but they placed the limitation on the invitation. And so Martha and Mary sends Jesus the invitation to come. He shows up. When he shows up, they question the limitation. You have invited him into your life. Do not limit him. Why? Because these sisters placed a limitation on Jesus, not realizing that not even death can limit his power. God is bigger than our limitations. Instead of communicating their expectation, they communicate the limitation. And many a times, our expectations are constrained by our limitation. And I want to pray tonight, and I want to encourage you tonight, do not allow your, do not place a limitation. Do not allow your expectation to be suppressed by the limitation. Because God says, don't limit me. Don't put a box on me. Just because your situation is in a bad condition does not mean I cannot change your bad condition. Amen? And so it's important for us tonight, and I'm going to end there because there are so many principles out of this text. And maybe next time when I come, I'll bring the book with of this, lifting the limitation. But I pray tonight for the little that you heard tonight. I pray tonight that you will lift every limitation of your life. I pray tonight that you will have an expectation. I don't know what you believe in God to do. Maybe you just want to stand. I'm going to pray for you. I don't know what you believe in God to do tonight. But God says, I do not want you to limit me tonight because I'm still the God that move. I'm still the God that change. I'm still the
God that can do the impossible. Can everybody please stand, please? I'm still the God that can do the impossible. And it doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what burdens and what challenges you're facing right now. God says, don't put a limitation on me. Don't put a limitation on me. Communicate your expectation. Don't tell me what you have, what you cannot do, what cannot happen in your life. God says, I want you to begin to speak and say, God, I know this can change. God, I know this is about to happen. God, I know the blessing that I've been praying for. God, I know the prayer that I've been believing for. I know the children that I've been leaving for you to get them off drugs. I know my situation. Lord, I have an expectation that you can do it. And I will not use time as a limitation. I will not use your lateness as a limitation. But I will believe you tonight. Can you just pray tonight? So say, Lord, lift the limitation. Just where you are tonight. Come on, just where you are tonight. Say, Lord, lift the limitation. Lord, lift the limitation. I pray tonight, God, that every expectation that I have, God, tonight, Lord, will be lifted. Lord, I realize tonight my expectation is not based on common sense. My expectation is based on God's sense. My expectation that God, that you will do much more for me, Lord, in the next 2 months than what happened in the last 10 months of the year. Lord, I have an expectation that you will move that mountain tonight. God, I have an expectation that you will save my family. I have an expectation, God, that you will move miraculously, that before 2018 comes to an end, I have an expectation, God, whatever I have asked you at the beginning of the year, it shall come to pass. I'm lifting every limitation, and I will not limit your power. I will not limit your presence. I will not limit your provision. But God, I thank you. You are not later. You are here tonight in your power, and I thank you right now, because you are here tonight, I will not limit you. Whatever I've been trusting you, God, I know that it shall come to pass. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, tonight I thank you for your word. Tonight I realize that I've placed so many limitations upon you, God, because I've looked in the natural. I looked at what I don't have. I look at what I need. And I look at my situation. And I realize that God, it looked impossible. I repent tonight for placing a limitation upon my expectation. Father, I thank you tonight that I refuse to limit you. Because, Father, I realize that when I place a limitation, you cannot do more than what I expect you to do. I pray tonight, God, that you will deliver me from limited expectation. I pray tonight, God, Lord, that my eyes will see further than my current reality. I know that you're the God of the impossible. And Father, I declare that in the next 2 months, Lord, I have great expectation. I have great expectation to know God. Whatever has been prophesied and whatever has been declared over my life, it shall happen. Father, I realize it is not how things look, but it's how I look at things. I look at things tonight with great expectation to know that God, who began the good work in me, is faithful to complete it. Father, tonight, I will not be like Martha and Mary, whose expectations were based on a natural experience. My expectation tonight is based on who you are and what you can do. Tonight, I step out in faith. Tonight, I declare in faith that whatever you have declared over my life, it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. You see, in the natural, if you have 1,000 rand, $1,000, you cannot have an expectation in the natural realm that $1,000, an expectation, will give you $5,000 worth.
your expectation is always based on the limitation. If you've got $1,000, it will give you, your expectation is based on $1,000 worth of value. Is that correct? But the minute in the kingdom, you cannot think like that. In the kingdom, the expectation has to be what heaven has to offer. Ah, you missed me already. Your expectation has to be what heaven has to offer. And so your expectation cannot be minimal if heaven wants to give you maximum. And so heaven can only respond to the level of your expectation because your expectation is connected to faith. Therefore, we cannot base our expectation based on how things look. We have to base our expectation based on how God looks at things. When Jesus looked at their situation, Jesus looked at their situation based on a different expectation. They looked at their situation based on where they were at. And they began to limit his presence and says, if you were here. They send him an invitation, but they yet limit his power. God says to you tonight, do not limit me. Do not put me in the box. Do not educate yourself out of the supernatural. I'm still the God of the supernatural. I can still do supernatural things. Do not educate yourself and think yourself out of it. Have an expectation that is so big that God can respond and blow your expectation. Their expectation is Lazarus is dead. His expectation, because I'm present, he is asleep. There are things in your life that you thought was dead, that was just asleep. And God says, because of your expectation that God has the best in store for you, that God has great things in store for you, that you will not end this year 2018 disappointed. I'll say it again. You will not end 2018 disappointed. Because you are raising the level of your expectation based on who Jesus is. And God is going to honor you. Here it is. Here it is. The expectation of Jesus was limitless because faith is limitless. I'll say it again. The expectation of Jesus was limitless because faith in God is. And so I don't know what you believe in God tonight, but take this word tonight and say, God, I have learned the lessons from Martha and Mary. When you showed up, you allow them to see that there are no limits when it comes to faith. And you and I have faith in God for a miracle tonight. Come on, just say after me. I have faith in God for a miracle. I want to send you home with this question. I want to send you home with this question. The question then, does your expectation of life matches your unlimited faith? The question to you and to me, does your expectation of life for the next 2 months of 2018, does it match our unlimited faith? Which means if our faith is unlimited, our expectations ought to be unlimited. Dream big. Declare big. Don't box him in.
I'm going to ask Pastor Francine, can you come pray for us tonight? Because somehow we've put a lid on the things of God. Because we try with logic. We've been figuring out with logic. And as a result of logic, we have low or no expectation. But God has sent me tonight to this house to say to you, lift every expectation.